Wes. Oh, right. Well, Hedmans, we celebrate with you all, Mei Lee and Tom and Sao Fong. Man, it never gets old to me. Never gets old. And Jesus reminds us in Luke 15 that whenever one sinner repents, that there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. Every time. Every time. And so we celebrate with you all. So we're in Habakkuk. Chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2. Those of you who are fathers have heard your young children joyfully scream out this three-word phrase. Do it again. Perhaps you've been at the park pushing your young daughter on the swing. Do it again. Or perhaps you're tossing your young son up in the air and catching him in your arms, and he screams, do it again. But we've heard our children scream out that phrase. When our kids were younger and we didn't have like a half a million things to do on the weekends, one of our favorite things to do was to go to the Midway Bakery. We found several Saturdays where we could kind of get away and drive. I guess that's Frankfort Pike, where you head up there. And then the Midway Bakery is actually an old school. If you've not been there, I highly recommend it. But it's an old Midway school, and they've turned the school part into apartments. But the old school cafeteria is the Midway Bakery. And you go in there, and there's little places to sit, and it's a lot of fun, coffee and great muffins and donuts and such. But the reason the kids enjoyed it so much is because they still have an old school playground back behind the bakery. They've left up the slide, and I brought a picture of the slide, if you put that up. So there you see the kids on just one of those old metal slides, right, where they could possibly fall off the sides because the railings aren't high enough, and there's possible tetanus from the rust. Definitely the metal part's way too hot, and there's burn wounds that could occur on the legs as you head down, but they love the slide. And then the other one, if you go to the next picture, is one of those old, I don't even know what you call those things, twirly whirls or roundabouts or merry-go-round. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Now, see, each one of my kids there, they've taken a different position, right, on how to hang on to that thing. I think the point of that is to see how many kids that you can fit on it and then just spin it around as fast as you can until somebody flies off. And so that's what I would do, and they would just yell, do it again, and you're just, yeah, it's like Wheel of Fortune, you're just wheeling them around on that thing, and then we have so much fun doing that, and they would just yell, do it again, Dad, do it again. G.K. Chesterton was an early 20th century Christian writer and philosopher. And you can just Google Chesterton quotes, and man, he has all kinds of great ones. One of his is, don't be too open-minded that your brains fall out. He's got all kinds of good ones like that. But this is one, it's rather lengthy, but I want to share it here at the beginning because it's my favorite of his. He writes, because children have abounding vitality, because they are in spirit fierce and free, therefore they want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, do it again. And the grown-up person does it again until he's nearly dead. For grown-up people are not strong enough to exult in monotony. But perhaps God is strong enough to exult in monotony. It is possible that God says every morning, do it again to the sun. And every evening, do it again to the moon. It may not be automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately, but has never got tired of making them. It may be that he has the eternal appetite of infancy. For we have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we. The repetition in nature may not be a mere recurrence. Instead, it may be a theatrical encore. That's a great quote. And I really like thinking about the possibility of God saying to the sun every morning, do it again. To the moon every evening, do it again. And making every daisy again and again as if he were making it for the first time. Thought about that quote a lot through the years since hearing it. I'm preaching a six-week series from this short book of Habakkuk, and I'm using it to encourage us as a church family to grow in the second part of our mission statement, which is to embrace the hurting. And I think the book of Habakkuk gives us just some real practical insight into how a person of God faces a very difficult time of suffering. And if we're going to be a people that do this well, who walk alongside those who are hurting, then there are several principles that we can learn from watching how Habakkuk responds to the difficult reality of his situation. So what we're doing over this 6 weeks is that we're learning these six action steps to help us to become a people who better embrace the hurting. The first one that we learned a couple weeks ago now is that we want to give permission to the hurting to ask questions. It doesn't make someone a bad Christian to ask questions. And so we want to give people permission to ask questions. The second one was that we don't want to give explanations. As I mentioned, remember, Job preferred the silence of God to the explanations of his friends. And so we don't need to give explanations, but we want to assure them that God is at work. Third is that we want to wait. We want to wait with the hurting. We want to stop what we're doing, and we want to be present with them. We don't want to move on. See, when people are hurting, when they're going through a season of suffering, everything for that person stops. And it's easy just to go on with the rest of our lives because life is busy. But we want to wait, and we want to be present. I love the word in the NIV in Habakkuk 2, verse 3. It says, though it linger, wait for it. That's what we want to do. We want to be a people who linger with the hurting. The fourth thing that we looked at last week was that we want to encourage them to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Man, it's easy during a very difficult season to be filled with fear and to be filled with anxiety, to be filled with worry and with doubt. And we want to encourage, to encourage one another to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And if you recall, I defined the glory of the Lord as the sum of all of God's attributes. The sum of all of his attributes. And those are the things that we want to encourage ourselves to be filled with, is the knowledge of all of God's attributes. That God is loving. That God is all-powerful. That God is sovereign. That he's good. And when we fill ourselves with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, with the knowledge of the sum of all of his attributes, that gives us a solid foundation to stand upon when the rest of the world seems like it's kind of caving in around us. So today, we're going to look at action step five. Here it is. In order to be a people who better embrace the hurting. We want to follow Habakkuk's lead here in chapter 3, and we want to pray. We want to pray for them. That's easy, right? Except we want to pray a very specific prayer. It's a simple three-word request that every child has joyfully made of their father. Do it again. Do it again. Let's read Habakkuk's prayer again. Wes has already read it for us once, but I'm only focusing on the two verses of it, and so I want to read it again, and actually read it in three different versions. In the NIV, here's how it reads. It's a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on Shigionoth. It's a tough word, Wes. Sorry to give that one to you, man. But we don't really know what that word means. Like the best scholars think that it was a musical term, and so they think that what kind of like Selah, and so they think that this was most likely a song. It was that was sung in the synagogue. It was a prayer song. So this is the rest. It says, "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy." And then here's how it reads in the ESV, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Shigionoth. "O Lord, I have heard the report of you. In your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy." And then in the New Living Translation, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, "This prayer was sung by the prophet Habakkuk. I have heard all about you, Lord. I am filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of our deep need, help us again as you did in years gone by. And in your anger, remember your mercy." A wonderful prayer of Habakkuk. And I want to follow his lead as we become a people who pray, who learn to pray for those who are hurting. And so there's three points I want to make this morning about these two verses of his prayer. And it's the three H's to praying like Habakkuk. So let's look at these together during our time. First one, the first H, is that we want to hear the Lord. We want to hear the Lord. And you say, wait a minute, I thought prayer was talking to the Lord. Well, listen again to verse 1. Habakkuk says, "I have heard of your fame. I have heard the report of you. I have heard all about you, O Lord." See, Habakkuk enters into this prayer having heard all about what the Lord has done. When you pray, let me ask you this question. When you pray, how familiar are you with God's resume? It's a lengthy one. Do you remember all that he's done for you? Perhaps one of the best reasons to read our Bibles is so that we can be reminded of all that he has done for us. See, the first step into praying like Habakkuk here is to sit down and hear about what God has done. To hear it afresh. To be reminded about all that he's done for us. You know, this is what, if you go on and look at verses 3 through 15 here in chapter 3, it's what Habakkuk does in these verses. He just simply lists what comes to his mind about what God has done for him and for the people of God. And he does this by just mentioning the names of places and events that would trigger the memories of the things that happened there for God's people. A couple of the places that he mentions there is Teman and Mount Paran and Cushan and Midian. Each one, as he would mention those to the people of God reading these, each one would trigger a memory of how powerfully God, how mightily he would have worked in the lives of the people in that instance. I love that the strong action verbs he uses about God in these verses as well. You'll notice in verse 3, he says that God came. He didn't stay away. He didn't remain hidden. But he came. He came in their time of need. It says in verse 6 that he stood. And when God stands, he says the earth shook. Not only did he come, but he stood. He stood unmoved. Another instance is in verse 12. He says, in verse 8 and in verse 12, he talks about how God strode, about how he marched, depending on your translation. And so how he acted. He worked on their behalf. And so these key memories, these key actions of God would just bring about these memories. It would trigger these memories for the people of God about how God has worked for them. Several years ago, I attended a funeral, and I didn't know this man very well, but one of the men that spoke at the funeral was a really good friend, and they were really good friends. And instead of spending long periods of time sharing all these stories about their friendship, he kind of took a unique take. I've never seen it done before at a funeral. He just listed. He had a list of about 20 places and events that he just listed. Didn't give you any explanation. He just listed the name of a place, the name of an event. And he said, if you, with this little caveat, he said, if you were there, then you'll know what I'm talking about. Now, I wasn't at any of them, so I didn't know what he was talking about. But those in the room who had been there, they knew. They knew it triggered. It triggered a memory, a special memory that they had had together at that place or at that event. And this is what Habakkuk is doing here. It's like he's just listing out these big moments where God had worked. You know, some that may be more familiar to us is like if he had listed out Egypt. If he just said Egypt. Or the Red Sea. You know, Mount Sinai. Jericho. You know, at the mention of each one, the thing that had happened there would come to mind. I remember what you did for us there. You know, I remember when you sent the plagues. I remember when you parted the waters. I remember when you shook the ground and the walls came tumbling down. I just finished reading through Deuteronomy in the mornings. And, you know, Deuteronomy is this wonderful book. It's a sermon. Often you've studied Deuteronomy or spent time there, but it's a sermon. It's a lengthy one. But it's a sermon of Moses to the people. It's kind of before he goes up to be with the Lord. He preaches this sermon to the people, and the message of the sermon is, do not forget what God has done for you. Don't forget, as you get ready to head into the promised land, don't forget all that he's done for you. One of the little books that I've mentioned that I've used is one by Warren Wiersbe, and here's something that Wiersbe said that I really like. He says, Habakkuk urges us to draw on our long-term memories of God. Otherwise, the difficulty of our immediate circumstances will cause us to become short-sighted. Have you heard of his fame? Have you heard all the reports? What about you? What are, I think, a really good practice, a really good activity for us is to ask ourselves, what are some of the key memories in our past? If we were to do what Habakkuk did here and to just make a list of places and people and moments in time when God worked in our life, you know, those holy moments when you clearly saw him at work in your life, what would that list look like? What names would be on that list? What places? What moments? Well, I'm up here with the microphone, so I'm going to share one of mine. I could share a bunch. And, you know, wouldn't that be fun to just spend all afternoon going around and sharing a place or a name or a moment where we've seen God clearly at work in our lives and just celebrating that together? But I'm going to mention a place. I mentioned this because this is the year of our 20th wedding anniversary, and so I guess my mind's just a lot on that, but I'm going to mention a place to you and then tell you about that place. It's 1102 Maplehurst Drive. Now, this place is a dump. It's a dump. It's where I lived with my younger brother, Chris, and one of his friends. Now, I was in Nashville, Tennessee at the time. And I was working on my master's degree at Lipscomb University. And my younger brother, Chris, was in law school at Vanderbilt. And then his buddy. And we lived there. And it was not a bachelor pad. I mean, and Karen will tell you stories. I mean, it was a disgusting place. But on Thursday evenings, it became a holy place because on Thursday evenings, we had a Bible study there. And we just kind of get the front room cleaned up because we knew people were coming. And we had to have it late on Thursday night. It was either 10:30. Our start time was either like 10:30 or 11. It was late because WWF, like Raw, was on Thursday night. And the only way three or four of these guys would come is if it was after that. They didn't want to miss WWF, and so that's wrestling. That's for professional wrestling, if you don't know what that is. But so we'd have it late on Thursday night, and here everybody would come. And so we had it there for a year. It was going for about a year, and there was about a dozen of us. And Amanda Jones, our former children's minister, was a part of that Bible study. And we had spent an entire year studying something, and then I began a brand new study on Joshua. We were going to study through the book of Joshua, and there we were about 10:30 on a Thursday night, and I was sitting in the recliner getting ready to start this study as people, Amanda was running late, surprise, and in Amanda walks with her roommate, Karen Nicholson, and I was preparing to begin the book of Joshua. There, the waters of the Jordan River parted. And the promised land walked into my life. I mean, it was just one of those holy moments where God provided. And it's a memory. It's a key memory. Maplehurst Drive. The dump that it was. It's a key place for God working in my life. You know, I tell single guys who are wanting to get married to just host a Bible study out of their apartment. It worked. But at our rehearsal dinner, at our for our wedding, there was one table at our rehearsal dinner that was everybody that was a part of that Bible study sat at, and just really special. But we want to hear the Lord. We want to remember what he's done, not only in the Bible, not only through the Israelites and what he's done there through his chosen people, but what he's done in our own lives. We want to tell those stories because we want to hear them, and we want to remember how God has worked powerfully and mightily in our lives. That's the first thing. The second thing is that we want to humble ourselves. We want to humble ourselves. Listen to what he says next. He says, I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. I am filled with awe by your amazing works. Your work, O Lord, as the ESV reads, your work, O Lord, do I fear. You see, when we hear and remember the works of God in Scripture and in our own lives, it humbles us. That's the proper response. You know, perhaps you've often studied the Word of God, but how often are you stirred and humbled by the Word of God? You know, let me ask, have the old stories grown cold in our hearts? You know, are we no longer filled with awe when we hear about Moses parting the waters of the Red Sea? You know, are we no longer stirred when we hear about David picking up the stone and taking down the giant? Are we no longer moved to compassion when we hear about Jesus raising Jairus' daughter from the dead, or when he calls to Lazarus and he comes out of the tomb? In verse 16, we read about Habakkuk's response to hearing the word of the Lord. He said, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound of it. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Could hardly stand on 2 feet. And so we hear and we remember, then we're humbled. We allow those stories of how he's worked in past days and how he's worked in our lives to humble us, to stir us, to move us, to fill us with awe by what he's done for us. That's number two. And then the third H is to help us again. So we want to hear the Lord, we want to humble ourselves upon hearing him. And then here's the request, is to help us again. Different versions, different translations, to renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. I like the ESV says it twice. It says, in the midst of the years, meaning not in the past, not in the future, in the midst of these years, revive it. Right now. In the midst of the years, make it known. Help us again as you did in years gone by. In other words, do it again. Do it again. David prays this prayer in Psalm 126, verses 4 through 6. This is how Eugene Peterson in the Message writes it. He says, and now, God, do it again. Bring rains to our drought-stricken lives, so those who planted their crops in despair will shout hurrahs at the harvest, so those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessing. There's a group called Elevation Worship. They have a beautiful song that's titled Do It Again. And the bridge of the song goes like this. I've seen you move. Come move the mountains. And I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again. See, circumstances change, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God who helped his people 2,000 years ago can help us today. The same God who helped me 20 years ago can help you today. There's a prayer that, I remember where I was when I read it the first time, and immediately saved it to my computer. I've had it there on my computer for the last, almost 20 years now. I return to it often, and I want to share it with you today, because it speaks to this. And it was a prayer written by Max Lucado. Max has the right words that we need to hear. And it was a prayer that he prayed on Saturday, September the 15th, 2001, when we were going as a country through a very difficult season of suffering and hurting. And we needed an appropriate word and a prayer that would resonate with our hearts during that difficult time. And so perhaps you've heard it before, this is the first time I want to share it with you. He said, "Dear Lord, we're still hoping we'll wake up. We're still hoping we'll open a sleepy eye and think, what a horrible dream. But we won't, will we, Father? What we saw was not a dream. Planes did gouge towers. Flames did consume our fortress. People did perish. It was no dream, and dear Father, we're sad about it. There's a ballet dancer who will no longer dance, and a doctor who will no longer heal, and a church has lost her priest, a classroom is minus a teacher. Cora ran a food pantry. Paige was a counselor. Dana, dearest Father, Dana was only 3. And who held her in those final moments? We're sad, Father, for as the innocent are buried, our innocence is buried as well. We thought we were safe. Perhaps we should have known better, but we didn't. And so we come to you. And we don't ask you for help. We beg you for it. We don't request it. We implore it. We know, of all people, what you can do. We've read the accounts. We've pondered the stories. And now we plead, do it again, Lord. Do it again. Remember Joseph? You rescued him from the pit. You can do the same for us. Do it again, Lord. Remember the Hebrews in Egypt? You protected their children from the angel of death. We have children too, Lord. Do it again. And Sarah, remember the prayers? You heard them. Joshua, remember his fears? You inspired him. The women at the tomb, you resurrected their hope. The doubts of Thomas, you took them away. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. You changed Daniel from a captive into a king's counselor. You took Peter, the fisherman, and made him into an apostle. Because of you, David went from leading sheep to leading armies. Do it again, Lord, for we need counselors today. We need apostles. We need leaders. Do it again, dear Lord. Most of all, do again what you did at Calvary, what we saw here on that Tuesday, you saw there on that Friday. Innocent slaughtered, goodness murdered, mothers weeping, evil dancing. Just as the ash fell on our children, the darkness fell on your son. Just as our towers were shattered, the very tower of eternity was pierced. And by dusk, heaven's sweetest song was silent. buried behind a rock, but you did not waver, O Lord, you did not waver. And 3 days in a dark hole, you rolled the rock and rumbled the earth and turned the darkest Friday into the brightest Sunday. Do it again, Lord. Grant us a September Easter. We thank you, dear Father, for these hours of unity. Disaster has done what discussion could not. Doctrinal fences have fallen. Republicans are standing with Democrats. Skin colors have been covered by the ash of burning buildings. We thank you for these hours of unity. And we thank you for these hours of prayer. The enemy sought to bring us to our knees and succeeded. He had no idea, however, that we would kneel before you. And he has no idea what you can do. Let your mercy be upon our president and our vice president and their families. Grant to those who lead us wisdom beyond their years and experience. Have mercy upon the souls who have departed and the wounded who remain. Give us grace that we might forgive and faith that we might believe. And look kindly upon your church. For 2,000 years, you've used her to heal a hurting world. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Through Christ. Amen. Do it again, Lord. It's a prayer that's become my prayer on Sunday mornings. You know, if my preaching the word has helped, encouraged, challenged, convicted the people of God in any way, shape, or form, Lord, do it again. You know, this word in verse 3, that depending on your translation, is it's renew, revive, help us again. It can be translated as repeat. Repeat. Habakkuk dared to believe that what God had done before, he could do it again. And what about you? Let's pray.